Hello, everyone. I am not Leslie Marshall. My name is Mark Levine. Leslie Marshall's taking a well-deserved vacation, and you've got me all week, like it or lump it. I hope you do like it because, I know a little bit about the way Washington works. After all, I've been here for a number of years. I'm reporting live, in fact, from Washington, D.C., and I used to work as a congressional attorney, so I have some idea how that works as well. And I've been following this election, which is, 2 weeks from yesterday. It's really just around the corner. And, of course, the people running are Obama and Nobama. Oh, they'll tell you in the mainstream media it's Obama versus McCain, but you and I both know that's not true. Do you know any McCain supporters that say, I am proudly voting for McCain? No. No, they're proudly voting against Obama. I know partly from the people who've called into this very show, right? They pick up the phones, they dial 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543, and they tell me why they're for John McCain. Why are they for John McCain? Because Obama's a terrorist. Because Obama's a Muslim. Because Obama's a socialist. God, strike three. I guess I could never be on the Family Feud. No, but that's what they do. If you've been listening over the past couple of days, you know the folks that have been calling in, and God love you. I welcome your calls, even when you don't agree with me. In fact, I encourage particularly the people who don't agree with me to call in. But it's always something negative. And you can tell it not just from the folks who call into my show, but from the rallies. You go to an Obama rally, and people are excited, and people are happy, and the music's playing, and everyone's shouting, Obama! 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 Then you go to the McCain-Palin rallies, and they're angry, and they're shouting out, terrorist! And kill him! And what are they shouting? Are they shouting, McCain! McCain! No, they're shouting, Nobama! Nobama! So the race is on between Obama and Nobama. McCain is really very secondary. And it may be why he's losing the race, because he's decided to run an entirely negative campaign. Perhaps recognizing that not enough people support John McCain, he's running as Nobama. Well, we've explored a lot of the things people have been saying about Nobama. Monday, we talked about the Is He a Terrorist Bill Ayers stuff. And yesterday, we talked a little bit about Acorn. I can talk more about that today if you like. We also talked about the crazy notions that he's Muslim. Did you know that 16% of McCain supporters, this is a Pew poll, this isn't Mark Levine talking or Leslie Marshall or Daily Coast, no. This is the Pew poll, very respectable poll. One out of six McCain supporters believes Barack Obama is a Muslim. One out of six. I mean, I knew there were a lot of ignorant people supporting John McCain, but one out of six? That's not the kicker, folks. The kicker is when asked if Obama is a Christian, only 47% of Republicans said yes. The majority of Republicans said no or didn't know. Wow. It's all about attacking Obama. The American people are suffering. We're in an economic crisis. People realize that John McCain, Mr. 90% George Bush, the same person who supported pretty much the entire Bush economic agenda. He didn't 8 years ago, but he does now. That he's not the solution to this crisis. So they've got to go on the attack. And they've kind of exhausted the terrorist angle. I mean, when you have such a respected general as Colin Powell, who worked for both George Bush Sr. and George Bush Jr., come on the air and say, this is enough. Stop dividing us. Stop talking about the real America and the fake America as if those of us who support Barack Obama are somehow fake. Stop talking about the pro-American areas of the country and the anti-American areas of the country as if those of us that don't live in the red states hate our country. That offended so many Republicans like Colin Powell, like Chris Buckley, the son of William F. Buckley, the founder of the National Review. I mean, the primary intellectual conservative. I guess he's dead now, and most intellectual conservatives are. Even George Will seems to be switching sides. So it isn't working. The calling Obama a terrorist isn't working. So now they have a new line. It's a line featured by the new Republican hero, Joe the non-plumber. It's Joe the plumber who's not a plumber, whose name is Sam, who isn't licensed to be a plumber, who claims to be making over $250,000 but isn't. You know the guy I'm talking about. Samuel Joseph Wurzelbacher of Holland, Ohio. They always put him in Toledo because I guess it sounds more working class. But Samuel Joseph Wurzelbacher, the infamous Joe the Plumber, consistently cited. I mean, you know, I wouldn't go after this guy if he weren't constantly used by John McCain and Sarah Palin, not just in the most recent debate, but in all of the speeches that they're giving. And he's their hero. He's the middle class, even though it turns out, well, he's not really a plumber, and his name isn't really Joe, as his friends call him, Sam. And he actually isn't making $250,000 a year, so as it happens, he does do better under Barack Obama's plan than under John McCain's plan. And he wasn't trying to buy the business. But other than that, Joe the Plumber, oh, and he owes back taxes. But other than that, Joe the Plumber is the hero of the Republicans. Here, John McCain couldn't bring himself to say the words middle class in either of his first two debates. Now he's Joe the Plumber and, you know, Brian the Brick Builder and all the other people at their signs. And you know what? That's okay. I want to reach out to Joe the Plumber and Brian the Brick Builder and, I don't know, Harry the haircutter. No, they probably won't include Harry there. But I want these people to be represented, so that's okay. But the thing that they most take from Joe the Plumber is the infamous, awful, disgusting, terrible comment of Barack Obama that he wants to spread the wealth around the United States. Aha! They say. That's proof! Barack Obama is a socialist. Terrorists didn't work. Muslim didn't work. Now they're calling him a socialist. Outside rallies for the No-Bama campaign. Again, there's no such thing as a McCain campaign. It's just the No-Bama campaign. Outside rallies for the No-Bama campaign, there are, you know, people handing out bumper stickers with the good old Soviet red star and sickle. I guess Obama is now a communist. And let's face it, most of America is too, right? You have Nancy Pfotenhauer, the McCain spokesperson. We played some of what she had to say yesterday, talking about the real Virginia. The real Virginia is that area outside of Northern Virginia, that, you know, that southern area. The rest of Virginia isn't real. Those people are fake and elitist and, you know, they must sip lattes or something. And then you had John McCain's brother, his brother, talk about Northern Virginia, where I live, Arlington and Alexandria. That's communist country. Because if you don't agree with the Republicans, you're a communist. We had Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann concerned that Obama has anti-American views. And then there's Senator George Voinovich of Ohio, Republican, who says, quote, with all due respect, the man is a socialist, unquote. So is Barack Obama a socialist? What is socialism? What makes it so horrible? Why are we so anti-socialist? I'm going to go out on a limb here and do something that, oh, people are afraid to do. I'm going to defend socialism. That's right, you heard it. I'm going to defend socialism. Just like the Republicans, Rush Limbaugh made liberal a dirty word. It's not a dirty word, it's a proud word. Liberalism is the history of America. The idea that we are free thinkers, the idea that we are free. Liberate, liberal, comes from the word freedom. I don't see Republicans attacking freedom. Well, I'm also going to defend socialism. That's right. I'm going to defend socialism. Not pure socialism. I don't believe in pure socialism. Neither does Barack Obama. When people talk about communism and they talk about the evils of the Soviet Union, they're being accurate. But the primary evil of the Soviet Union was that it was a dictatorship. It was an authoritarian government. It murdered a lot of political prisoners. It put people in prison without trial or with only show trials, much as we're doing in Guantanamo Bay. Not to the same extent, but you know, we're getting there. Right? But in terms of economic systems, should we have pure capitalism? What's interesting to me is the Republican Party has been fighting any kind of socialism in America ever since the 1930s. In 1936, Alf Landon's campaign was almost entirely around abolishing that awful, disgusting, wrong New Deal program called Social Security. Republicans also hate Medicare. Heck, Joe the Plumber personally will tell you he is against Social Security. So should we go back to pure capitalism? I mean, you can argue that America about 100, 120 years ago was pure capitalism. Read The Jungle by Upton Sinclair. You can read about how people worked in the factories and workers had no rights and no safety laws. And heck, if they lost an arm, it just got chopped up and cut into the food. That's pure capitalism, right? Pure capitalism means that we have no equal opportunity for all. And, you know, pure capitalism, I guess, would include prostitution. It would include anything that can be bought and sold. And one thing it definitely would not include, nationalizing the banks. It wouldn't include using the government to spend $700 billion to bail out Wall Street. Nothing would be regulated. You could buy and sell any kind of medication, doesn't matter whether it works or not, ending government regulation. You see, my friends, socialism is good in small doses, as is capitalism. I believe in a mixture of capitalism and socialism. I don't think pure socialism works. I don't think pure capitalism works. And I don't think that Obama wants anything more than the same kinds of social programs that have made America strong, well, since the New Deal. Do you really want to abolish Social Security? Do you want to abolish Medicare? Is it wrong to say that the middle class should get a tax cut too? I mean, let's not just throw out phrases here. Let's not just accuse Obama of socialism. Let's talk about what we really mean here. John McCain supports privatizing Social Security. Do you? Do you think in this stock market that we should have all of seniors' retirement going up and down and losing it all? What do you think? Do we need a little bit of socialism in this country? I've been canvassing my neighborhood in Virginia, which is a very important swing state. I am willing to bet that as Virginia goes, so will go the nation this election. Right now it's leaning toward Obama, and of course Obama is winning the race. But I went around and I was talking with people, those that are supporting John McCain. And I was trying to figure out why, and it's not because of Iraq. Virtually nobody says they're supporting John McCain because of Iraq. Some of it is theocracy. Some of it is religious fundamentalism, people who believe that we need to have a more sort of a Taliban Christianity in America. We need to punish gay people. We need to make sure that, a raped little girl has to have a baby, that kind of thing. Sarah Palin conservatives, if you will. But not so much in Northern Virginia. In Northern Virginia, you find the biggest thing that's pulling people along is the new complaint from the McCain-Palin team, from the Nobama school. And it's not that he's a terrorist, that isn't really playing, and it's not that he's a Muslim, that's false, you know, I mean, as is the terrorist claim. And they can't say it's because he's black, because it's so uncool today to say you're not voting for someone because they're black. You don't want to admit to that. You'll use code words like Muslim and terrorist. Nope, the one they're using now is calling people socialist, calling Barack Obama a socialist. And, you know, I'm not going to defend terrorists, but I will defend, to some extent, socialism. Specifically, I will defend a combination of capitalism and socialism in our economy. Now, what does all this mean? Well, I guess capitalism purely means that the government stays out of everybody's lives, and the rich, you know, get as rich as they want to do, and they can trick the poor. And most kind of like this country was 100 years ago, when you had very few super wealthy, kind of like Mexico is today, and you had a whole bunch of poor people. And generally, when you have that, you have the kind of cronyism and corruption where you have the corporations controlling the government. That doesn't work very well. That doesn't lead to a strong economy. On the other hand, socialism, pure socialism, I don't think works very well either. Even democratic socialism. And I've been to the Israeli kibbutz. I've seen how it is when you have a society where everyone gives according to what they can and gets according to what they need. That doesn't work either, right? Because people are lazy. They're saying, you do the work and I'll get what I need. No, you need a combination. You need a combination. You need to have capitalism, free market is the basic way it works, but at the same time, you need protections. Things like Social Security. And it's interesting to me that for all the Republicans yelling and screaming that Barack Obama is a socialist, how many of them are saying what they really think? That we need to end Social Security, that we need to end Medicare. If you are against socialism, you're against Social Security, right? Ooh, but they're not going to say that because Americans like Social Security. You know, it's fascinating if you look at the claim that Obama is going to spread the wealth around. Did you know that we have more inequality now than at any time since the 1920s? That's right, since right before the last Great Depression. 10% of households have 44% of household income. 1980, they only had 33%. That's right, just about half of everything made by any Americans is made by that top 10%. For wealth, even more so. So what is wrong with the idea that your ordinary American can get a break too? Why is it that only the super rich are served by Republicans? It's interesting because the people I know that are defending this, that are calling Barack Obama socialist, none of them make $250,000 a year. The people I've talked to, in fact, some of the people that do make that kind of money, multimillionaires, people like Warren Buffett, they support Barack Obama. They believe they should pay their fair share in taxes. They believe they should pay higher tax rates than their secretaries. But the people calling Barack Obama a socialist, I think they have this strange idea that every single thing they've achieved in life was due entirely to their own hard work. And the fascinating thing to me is that you take a guy like Barack Obama, someone who achieved the American dream, someone who was born of a single mother who was on food stamps at one point, and this guy worked by his own hard work, got into Harvard, became the head of the Harvard Law Review, succeeded with writing a book or two beyond his wildest dreams, while the people who are attacking him for being a socialist, people like George Bush and John McCain, entirely succeeded based on their daddy and their granddaddy. I want you to think about that. I want you to think about that. Who are the true purveyors of the American dream? Those that would give equal opportunity to everyone? Or those who want to succeed based entirely on what their daddy and granddaddy did? Do you believe in affirmative action for the white privileged? Apparently, if you support John McCain, that's exactly what you believe. Welcome back to the Leslie Marshall Show. This is Mark Levine here filling in for Leslie Marshall, and I want to hear from you. Lines are open. Have you noticed that now that they can't show Obama's a terrorist, and now that they don't dare say the racist stuff, at least not in public, that doesn't mean it doesn't matter. My home state of Tennessee, I noticed a recent poll, a Rasmussen poll, that said 29% of Tennesseans say they know someone who's not voting for Obama because of his race. And those are the people that admitted it to the pollster. So they tried terrorism. They tried, connections to Acorn. We'll talk about that as well. It turns out, of course, John McCain was the keynote speaker at an Acorn convention just 2 years ago. Bet you didn't know that. So now they have the new term. The term really that harkens back to the McCarthy days of the 1950s. He's a communist. Commie, pinko, Soviet. Right? No, they don't say that. They say socialist. I mean, a few of them say communist. But the respectable ones say, he's a socialist. Oh, my God. What a terrible, terrible thing. Of course, Barack Obama is far from a socialist. I don't believe Barack Obama believes in confiscating people's wealth and handing it over. I mean, let's not forget that the greatest of socialists, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, during World War II, had high tax rates for the highest income bracket of more than 90%. And Eisenhower, that socialist, had rates of higher than 70%. John Kennedy, who cut taxes, cut them to 50%. Hardly socialist. All Barack Obama would do is bring us back to the Clinton years. The Clinton years, which happened to have been the largest, best economic expansion, I dare say, in American history. And partly that's because of, yes, income inequality. There, I said it, crucify me, I said it. Income inequality, that's right. Currently, the top 1%, the richest 1%, the richest 1 in 100 Americans have the same amount of wealth as the bottom 40%. 40%. They have 40% of the household wealth. Think about that. In fact, I got my facts wrong. Let me be clear. It's worse than that. The top 1% owns 40% of total wealth in the country. They own more than the bottom 90%. Excuse me. That's an important little distinction there. They own 40% of the total wealth in the country, more than the bottom 90%. If you take all of the wealth of 90% of Americans, okay, 270 million people, they would have less than 3 million other Americans. Now, I know what you're going to say. Mark, you're preaching class warfare. You're a socialist. Well, let me tell you something. The last time America had this kind of inequality was in the 1920s. And lo and behold, the stock market crashed. And we endured the worst economic depression in American history. And there's a reason for that. And the reason for that is what I've been talking about the past couple of days. I have nothing against rich people. Some of my best friends are rich. But they are not the engines of the economy. If you take a vacuum cleaner and you suck away the wealth of 90% of people and give it all to 1%, there's only so many cars and houses they can own. John McCain has 7 or 8 houses. He loses track. He owns 13 cars. Does he need another? If we give him another $5 million, what will he do? He'll probably do what John McCain likes to do. He'll bring it to the craps table in Las Vegas and bet it on a roll of the dice. The irony is that the people who tend to be against the idea of the American dream, they tend to be against the idea of equal opportunity. The people who call Barack Obama a socialist don't seem to recognize that he is the epitome of the American dream. Look, him, Bill Clinton, both children of single mothers. Barack Obama's mom was actually on welfare. Now, I know that Republicans would have cut off that welfare. I know that Republicans believe that Barack Obama should never have had the right to go to college just because he was the smartest kid in his class. No, Republicans believe that colleges should be open not to the intelligent, not to those who are good at their studies, not to those who are hardworking. No. Republicans believe that colleges should only be open to you if your daddy or your granddaddy went there. They're against affirmative action for poor people. They're against affirmative action for African Americans, but they support affirmative action for rich legacy kids. Compare the life of Barack Obama with the life of John McCain, or for that matter, of George W. Bush. Could George Bush have gotten into Yale on his own? No way. He got there because of his father and his grandfather, Senator Prescott Bush of Connecticut. And he got there and he made C's and D's. John McCain went to the Naval School, the Naval Academy in Annapolis, based on his father and his grandfather. And when he got there, what were his grades? Well, let's compare to Barack Obama. He was the top of his class, president of the Harvard Law Review. And was John McCain in the top of his class? No. Was he in the top 1%? Not quite. Was he in the top 10%? No. Was he in the top quarter? No. Was he in the top half at least? No. Well, was he in the top 3/4? No. Well, was he in the top 90%? No. Well, at least he was in the top 95%. No. He wasn't even in the top 99%. He was in the bottom 1% of his class, and he wasn't even at the top of that. Out of 899 students at the Naval Academy, John McCain was 894. And if his daddy and granddaddy weren't admirals, he would have been kicked out long ago. So how did John McCain make his money? Well, after ditching his first wife, who had a horrendous accident and was no longer the pretty model she once was, he married a beer heiress. Did Cindy McCain earn her money? No. Her father apparently earned the money. John McCain is a wealthy man because he married a daughter of a rich man. These are the people the Republican Party stands for, right? Anna Nicole Smith, Republican hero, sleep with an 89-year-old man, take all the money. Don't pay estate taxes. That's the hero. But take someone like Bill Clinton. Take someone like Barack Obama. Take someone who has earned their living, who has worked hard, who has achieved the American dream, and those are the people we have to shut the door to. That's socialism, I guess. It's amazing to me how many people, it goes back to that famous comment Ann Richards made, the former Texas governor made about George Bush Sr. She said, this is a man who was born on third base and thought he'd hit a triple. When you look at someone like John McCain, when you look at someone like George W. Bush, you know, I'm not knocking them for having a father who's a president and a grandfather who's a senator, or in John McCain's case, having a father and a grandfather who's an admiral. You can't help who your parents are. I'm not attacking people because they're rich. But what I'm saying is you shouldn't get an automatic success just because your father and your grandfather. I look at someone like Paris Hilton and I say, you know what? Maybe she should get a job. You know, if you shouldn't, I don't think you should. I'm going to go further and say that I think legacies should be banned. I don't think you should get into Yale just because your daddy and granddaddy went there. I don't think you should get into the Naval Academy just because your daddy and granddaddy were admirals. People should have to work. And the irony about all of this is that you look at a man like Barack Obama, you look at a man like Bill Clinton, and they achieved the American dream. They rose from poverty to wealth, and they don't support socialism. They support equal opportunity, giving a chance to every American. And if that means a little bit of what some call socialism, then so be it. It's fine with me. If you disagree, or if you agree, call in. I've been reading a study by the bipartisan Congressional Budget Office, and they show that the Bush tax cuts in 2001 have increased the after-tax income of the top 1% of households, those with average incomes in excess of $1 million, by 10%. So if you make $1 million, you now make $1,100,000. If you make $10 million, you got $1 million more. If you make $100 million, you got $10 million more. Where does all this money come from? Well, if you're a middle-income family, you got 2% more. So if you make $57,000 a year, which was the average income for middle-income families, then George Bush has given you a tax cut of about $1,000. If you're in the bottom 20% of Americans, you only got 1.6%. Your average tax benefit from the Bush tax plan, about $100. Now, these tax cuts cost all of us $90 billion a year. So we got to make that money back. And what that means is that those in the bottom 80% are paying a greater percentage of taxes now, while the top 1% are paying less. So if you are against socialism, if you're against redistribution of wealth, are you against it when George Bush does it? Are you against it when George Bush robs the poor to pay the rich? Are you just against Barack Obama bringing it back? At the time it happened, John McCain said we couldn't afford it. John McCain called it a giveaway to the rich. John McCain answered town hall meetings by saying that the rich can afford to pay their fair share. Well, you know, he had to win that Republican nomination, so he's now flip-flopped. What are your views? 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. Keith in Hartford, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hello.
You know, I disagree with you on, you know, several areas.
Okay.
Some of the things that you say are true. And I agree with what you were saying about, you know, privilege. Bush never would have got into Yale. That's true. But I think what you're missing in terms of socialism and the middle class, most middle class people, of which I am one, work very hard to make a decent income, and they don't want it redistributed.
Which is why Barack Obama would give you a big tax cut. So are you against getting a tax cut? Because, John, listen, if you make under $250,000 and you say you're middle class, so I assume you make under $250,000, then Barack Obama would have you keep more of your earnings and John McCain would have you pay more of your earnings in taxes. So wouldn't Barack Obama then be your guy?
Yeah, I'm not saying I'm against Obama or in favor of McCain.
Okay.
The issue that I'm bringing up is that you went on a diatribe about socialism and capitalism.
Right.
And I think what you're missing, a very particular American view or feeling that people have, we're very different than the people in Europe and other socialistic democratic systems. We believe in the middle class, and this is just my own observations and my own study of history, that you work, you earn, you save, you build. That's it. Now, if you're at the bottom and you don't do that, that's your problem. And if you're at the top and you're trying to steal and grab whatever you can grab, well, we don't like it so much, but most people in the middle class want to be rich. They don't want to be poor. I've been rich and I've been poor. I got to tell you, rich is better.
I'm sure that's true.
I don't think we're
but I don't agree with you. I mean, I don't disagree
what?
With you. I mean, look, here's the thing. I am not arguing, and please, I want to be clear because I maybe wasn't as clear as I should have been. I am not arguing for pure socialism by any stretch or form. I don't think that works. I talked about how I think it fails in the Israeli kibbutz. I think it failed in communism. I don't think we should be as socialist as, for example, France is. I'm not arguing for that. Neither is Barack Obama. But some forms of socialism, this idea of a social safety net, the idea that no matter how far you fall, you still don't starve in the richest country on earth.
Okay, well, now we're coming to a point of agreement because I misconstrued what you said. I thought that you were advocating for more of a socialistic system like France and Italy
no,
and a lot of...
I'm arguing for a return to the Clinton years. You know, that may be slightly more socialist than the last 8 years, but it's a scale. I believe in a combination of capitalism and socialism. I don't think pure capitalism works. That's why I support things like Social Security and Medicare, and which protects us, from hard times, from ourselves. These are insurance programs. These
Absolutely.
Mean that we
need Social Security because old people, if we didn't have it, then children would have to take care of their parents.
If we didn't have it, then we'd have people who put all their money in the stock market, and if they got out a year ago, would be twice as wealthy as the people that got out this year. So,
I agree. I lost $40,000 2 weeks ago myself.
And aren't you glad you have Social Security?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So my point is this. You know, the Republicans are, if you will, they're attacking Obama with a sledgehammer. They're saying he's a socialist when all he really wants to do is bring us some manner of more equality. To say, hey, the rich should pay their fair share too. In the Clinton years, everyone did better off, not just the middle class, but the rich did better off too. And what's wrong with bringing us back to that era? And what shocks me is that so many middle class people, the people that John McCain calls Joe the plumber, even if Joe isn't a plumber, are supporting not themselves, but the right of super rich people to be super rich. Now, you're not doing that. I think, frankly, you and I are in a lot of agreement.
We are, now that you've kind of clarified your position. I got to tell you, though, I'm afraid of Obama. I'm not voting for McCain. I don't know what I'm going to do. But,
why are you afraid
of
Obama? Honestly.
Ralph Nader.
Well, Ralph Nader is far more socialist than Barack Obama.
I know.
Tell me what, seriously, what makes you afraid of Barack Obama? I'm really curious.
I think that he talks a good game now up front, but once he gets in place, he's going to bring a lot of very, to use the phrase, socialistic thinking people into his administration.
Well, let's talk about who he talks with, because we know, for example, that he works with Warren Buffett. Just recently, just yesterday, he was on, he had a long discussion with Paul Volcker. You may remember him. He was the Federal Reserve Chairman under Ronald Reagan.
Right,
hardly a socialist. I mean, Barack Obama is no Jesse Jackson. He's no Maxine Waters. He's no Ralph Nader, for that matter. He's a moderate Democrat, frankly, in the tradition, I think, of people like Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Tell me specifically, if you can, what you fear, Keith.
I just basically don't want to see a system of government come in that's going to be redistributive.
But see, it depends what you mean by redistributive. I just gave you statistics from the Congressional Budget Office at the opening of this segment where I showed that George Bush has redistributed wealth. He's redistributed it from poor to rich, right? We have greater income inequality than any time since the 1920s.
Well, that I agree with.
Well, Obama's reversing that. Is that so terrible?
No, but I think that we definitely need people who are going to own and operate businesses.
Well, of course, but Obama supports that. I mean, actually, his small business plan.
Yeah, but those are the people who make over $250,000 a year.
Well, Obama doesn't believe in shutting down their businesses. I mean, he's not going to come in like the communist, Politburo and start closing businesses. In fact, I don't even think he'll nationalize the banks the way Bush did. Obama is saying is that if you make over $250,000, you should pay the same tax rates as you did in the Clinton years. It turns out it's only 3% more. So if you make $260,000, you pay 3% more on that extra $10,000, which is about $300. All he's saying is go back to the Clinton years for those that make over $250,000. He's hardly shutting them down.
I got to tell you, we're at 150, and
well, he won't tell. He'll help you then.
You wonder where the money is.
Well, he'll help you at 150.
You made $150,000 and you have, no money.
Well, that's why he's going to give you a tax cut.
Yeah,
he's
only
talking about those over 250. Look, at the end of the day, it seems to me that middle-class people have lost enough. There's a reason why our economy is in trouble, and partly it's because Americans are up to their ears in debt. And it seems to me that the people who can most afford to bear the burden, people like the Warren Buffetts, don't mind paying a little bit more so that your average, ordinary American gets a chance to pursue the American dream. I got to tell you, Keith, I think if you look at Obama's actual plan, not the fear-mongering, not the stuff that the Republicans are saying, but his actual plan, you're a reasonable-minded guy. I think you'll support it. Take a look at it. Don't listen to all the fear-mongering. Read his actual plan, And I think you'll come around, Keith. I mean, not that we – I think we can have Connecticut anyway, but I just as soon have your vote for Obama as well.
Okay.
Thanks so much for your call. I appreciate it. There's a bunch of you hanging on the line. Please stay on. I will get to each and every one of you if you just hang on. My name is Mark Levine. I host my own show called The Inside Scoop out of Washington, D.C., and I am defending the idea that it's okay to have some social programs in America. That's right, I still support Social Security. I don't want to privatize it the way John McCain does. I still support Medicare. And I got to say that all those Republicans complaining that Obama is a socialist, all he's doing is bringing us back to Bill Clinton. Why do they always have to use these kinds of terms? They're trying to tear America apart. The terrorist thing didn't work. They can't mention the racial thing. The Muslim thing is a vicious lie. That one hasn't worked that much either. And so what Republicans are saying what they've been saying for a long time. You know, if you support, Barack Obama, you support redistribution of wealth and class warfare. Isn't that exactly what the Republicans have done? I mean, I just gave you the statistics. They redistributed wealth on their watch. Isn't it time we put a little back? Then later on in this hour and the next, we got to talk about a certain redistribution of wealth to Sarah Palin, specifically $150,000 that the Republican National Committee has shelled out for her clothes and her hairstyle. Remember John Edwards' $400 haircut? Well, that pales compared to Sarah Palin's $150,000 clothing.
And
we'll
you
get
know
to
what?
That.
She still doesn't look that good.
Well, I think Tina Fey's a lot prettier myself. But let's get back with this argument about socialism. Let's start with who we got here. We've got Mike in Rhode Island. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hi, Mark.
Hello.
Yes, I think it's fitting that John McCain is using as his economic spokesman a semi-fictitious plumber with aspirations to a fortune that he doesn't have right now, who is willing to give up a tax cut that might help him right now. Because this is how it's done. They always say, oh, everyone's going to be a millionaire someday, so you should treat millionaires well, and they'll create jobs for you.
That's what they say.
The only problem is every time that's been tried, it doesn't work. You end up with budget deficits, which has happened on the national level. And in my own state here, Rhode Island, which is you might think is the bluest of blue states.
I think it is, isn't it?
Our local politicians have bought into this, and they've put in policies, a capital gains tax cut and an alternate flat tax, which allows some people making over $250,000 a year to pay less taxes than people making under $250,000 a year. And if you want to know if that how that's worked out, well, our unemployment rate today just topped the nation. It's 8.8%.
Mike, I got to tell you, I'm shocked. Not that some politicians somewhere are supporting this. If this happened in Nebraska or Texas or Oklahoma, that wouldn't surprise me at all. But, yeah, Rhode Island, you're the bluest of the blue. How do y'all let that happen up there?
Well, that's the gutless way they do things in this state, as Johnny Most might have said.
It's your state government? It's your state governor? It's your state legislature?
Basically, I think they do it. Well, the governor is a neocon, Kachiri, but what really irritates me is the fact that the Democrats in the state General Assembly, they buy into the basic premise, and we've got to start attacking the premise that by coddling the rich, you're somehow going to generate economic growth, because it just isn't happening. I mean,
trickle-down economics has never worked. It's the example I gave just a couple days ago. I don't know if you heard my show a couple days ago, but I talked about the guy that owns a car factory. And if you give him $50 million more, he's not going to build another car factory. He doesn't need another car. But you give that same money to people in the middle class, you know, give $10,000 to 50,000 people or whatever, then they're going to need the extra car, and then their demand will cause the rich guy to build another car factory, and that creates jobs. And frankly, it's how the economy works. Middle class and poor people are the engines of the economy, not the super rich. Basic economics.
Well, I agree with that, because I believe even if you go back beyond the Depression, any time you see a widening of the gap in income and a slackening of rules and regulations, a few years later, you see some sort of economic bust.
That's exactly right. And as I pointed out at the early part of the show, we haven't had this kind of income inequality in the United States since the 1920s. Hey, thanks very much for your call, Mike. I appreciate it. Let's go to Larry in Connecticut, neighboring Rhode Island. Larry, how are you? Larry, you there?
I'm there. You here?
I hear you fine. What are your thoughts on trickle-down economics?
Well, you know, just a couple of things. I'm just driving home, and you're driving me nuts. I'm listening to you, so I guess you did your job. But I think the biggest thing, I'll tell you, I'm undecided. I lean to the right. I guess I'd be categorized by Barack Obama as, under the $250,000 threshold. But
okay.
Scares me because I think he's going to raise my taxes.
Why do you think that? What makes you think that?
You've not addressed the biggest cost of all, which is this health care that he's talking about that's going to cost $1 billion.
How's sure he has.
How's he going to pay for that?
I'll explain. I'll be happy to explain. Barack Obama's health care plan actually is less, to use a word, socialist, quote unquote, than Hillary Clinton's was. I don't know if you remember back in the primaries, they didn't disagree on much. The one thing they did disagree on was their health care plan. Hillary's was much more of this single-payer universal health care, which, frankly, I support. I'll throw that out there. But Barack Obama's plan was much more modest. His plan is you stay where you are. Your employer, if you're employed and you have health care, that's fine. You keep it. But if you don't have health care, you can join into the same government-run program that he and John McCain and every other member of Congress, indeed every federal employee, enjoys, the federal system, which I was under, too. It's a pretty good plan when I worked in Congress. And that program wouldn't discriminate against you for a pre-existing condition, and they could keep the cost down. And if you didn't like the public system, then you could go in the private system. How is he going to pay for it? Well, I'll tell you. One way is yes, by going back and raising taxes on those that make over $250,000 a year. Another way he's going to pay for it is by bringing our troops home from Iraq. I mean, it costs us hundreds of billions of dollars a year, far more expensive than the health care program, just keeping our troops over there. That's two ways. There are other things he's doing to raise money, but those are two big ones. Another one, he's going to raise taxes on businesses that take jobs overseas. That raises some money.
Well, okay, so basically what he's going to do is he's going to get rid of NAFTA, which...
No, he's not going to get rid of NAFTA. He did not say he's going to get rid of NAFTA. He said he would renegotiate NAFTA specifically with regard to the environmental and labor problems with NAFTA, which is the same thing that moderate Democrats like Bill Clinton have been talking about for the last 8 years. Right. He didn't say he's going to throw it away. He said he would renegotiate it.
A couple other points I'll make.
Go ahead.
And I don't think the media has dug into this guy, and it's very concerning for someone like me. And I think they are so much in his camp, and they wanted him to beat Hillary. And, you know, when Hillary put the full court press on, he stumbled to the finish line. I'm not a Hillary fan, but, you know, if that race won another month, she probably would have won. The media is in his camp. Nobody's questioning. The guy spent, during college, spent months in Muslim-based countries. Nobody's dug into that. He hasn't heard anything.
Wait, hold on. When he was 10 years old.
No, after college. Before he went to Columbia, he went to Pakistan. He spent a whole, I don't know if it was a semester, but there was a period of time where he traveled. And I don't know how many college students from very modest backgrounds had the money to travel there, but nobody's dug into that. Nobody talked
about it. I know of no evidence of that. I mean, he wrote a whole autobiography. Is this in his autobiography? Where are you getting this? What's your source for this?
I think CNN had the hour-long program on him and McCain and talked about how before he went to Columbia University, he traveled with his two roommates, one was from Pakistan.
I'll check it out. But, you know, I mean, I've traveled, too, all over the world. I went to the former Soviet Union back when there was a Soviet Union. That doesn't make me a communist. I mean, isn't this a little weird? John McCain's been in Pakistan. He's been all over the world, too. I'm just not sure. It sounds to me, I got to say, like you're implying that somehow he's the Manchurian candidate, right? That old movie of how, they're going to sneak a guy in who's really anti-American. I mean, is that what you believe, that he's some kind of closet terrorist? If you do, just say it. Is that what you believe?
No. I don't. No, I'm not at all.
Okay.
What I don't know is he going to be a pacifist like Carter was?
Well, you know, it's very interesting that you say that, because on the issue specifically of Pakistan, the country you say that he visited, and he may have, just because I don't know it doesn't mean it's not true, but specifically on the country of Pakistan, we talked about this yesterday, Barack Obama is far more of a hawk than John McCain. I had a whole long discussion last night with a guy who thinks that John McCain is right, that even if Osama bin Laden is in Pakistan and we have actionable intelligence and Pakistan is unwilling and unable to help... McCain says we shouldn't go in. We shouldn't kill bin Laden. Even though bin Laden murdered 3,000 Americans, McCain says, no, we should respect Pakistani sovereignty. Obama, interestingly, disagrees. Obama says if bin Laden's there and we have actionable intelligence and Pakistan's unwilling or unable to help, we should go in and bomb him. It's self-defense. The guy murdered 3,000 Americans. On the issue specifically of Pakistan, the country that you fear that Obama is too nice to, he said that he would go in and bomb where bin Laden is. It seems to me like McCain is taking the Carter position here, not Obama. Do you know about this position?
Mark, honestly, you've got all night to talk. I only got like 4 minutes. So if you
go ahead.
Just do a little talk, and I'd appreciate it. I mean, if you
well, go ahead. Do you know about this position? Have you heard about it?
Absolutely. McCain did not say we would not go in there. McCain, and again, another thing makes me nervous. McCain said, you don't go on, come out and say those things. There's going to be a lot of back news, a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes. So McCain didn't come out and say.
Actually, he did. You're right that he said later on we don't come out and say it in advance. But before that, he said it would be absolutely improper and wrong, and he was against it. And he even shut down Sarah Palin, who was taking Obama's position. He said, no, you shouldn't say that. So that on this particular issue, Obama is the hawk, and John McCain's the dove. Oh, he hung up on me. That's too bad. Look, look at the positions, folks. I mean, look, you may disagree with me. I had a very intelligent caller who called in yesterday and gave me an impassioned argument of why it would be wrong to kill Osama bin Laden, even if we could, and even if Pakistan wasn't willing to help. I disagree with the caller, but he gave me an argument. But don't call Barack Obama a pacifist. If anything, you need to call John McCain the pacifist. If you believe that John McCain, in fact, is too weak, say so. But don't say Obama's a pacifist when he has a stronger position. If you want to comment on my show or any of my other shows, all you have to do is go to my website, RadioInsideScoop.com. RadioInsideScoop.com. Sometimes you get a full board, though we got some lines open now. And if that happens and you just want to write down your comment, you can do that too. Just go to my website and do that. I looked up because one of our callers was challenging the fact that Obama spent, I think he said, 6 months in Pakistan. What was that about? I looked it up, and it turns out that Obama visited his mother and his sister, Maya, in Indonesia when they lived there, but between Occidental College and Columbia College, and he was there for that visit. And after the visit, he had a friend from Pakistan, from college, from Occidental College, whose family was from there. Obama visited Pakistan for 3 weeks, staying with his friend's family in Karachi, and also visiting Hyderabad in southern India. So he's over in Indonesia and decides to take a look at Pakistan and India for about 3 weeks. Now, I've spent, I spent a whole year in Switzerland. I had a Fulbright scholarship, but I also have spent time in Europe. I've spent more than 3 weeks in countries like France and Italy. I've been to Israel. I've been to China. I've been to the Soviet Union back when it existed. Somehow I don't think that makes me a communist or French or Italian or Israeli or any of those other countries. He visited Pakistan for 3 weeks. So what? He's not exactly the Manchurian candidate. Let's go on the lines. We've got Mike in Westchester, Pennsylvania. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hi, Mark. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Sure. Now, what's on your mind?
I'm old enough to remember back in the 50s and 60s when liberal, they started trying to make that a dirty word. They didn't use the definition, of course, that John F. Kennedy had supplied for a liberal. They made it as a substitute for the word socialist. And, of course, socialist was just a substitute for the word communist.
The Red Scare, they called it.
That's right. And, of course, we all know what those communists wanted to do. They were just all a bunch of anti-American people. So I think this is the Republicans really just scraping the bottom of the barrel. They're really trying desperately to try to make some kind of points. And as I said before, I think that most of the people in this country now that are voting age are too young to remember that, too young to make that that connection. And quite frankly, I think it's just so passe at this point.
They're throwing everything they can. I think they're just trying to throw off enough against the wall and see what sticks, right? I mean, they tried the terrorist thing. They tried the Muslim thing. Now it's the socialist thing. And next up, I got to tell you, next on the agenda, all the political rumors are they're going to bring up Reverend Wright again, which is old news to most of us. But they're going to try to argue, I guess, that Obama is anti-American because he's got this, you know, radical preacher. They're going to try anything.
Is Reverend Wright a Muslim or
Well, that's the other thing that I never got. I mean, how is it that he's got a radical minister and he's a Muslim at the same time? I mean, at least they should get their argument straight. If he's in this radical black Christian church, how can he be a Muslim?
Mark, according to the rumors, he's a secret Muslim.
Right. He's the Manchurian candidate. You heard my prior caller. He visited Pakistan for 3 weeks. So obviously he's a secret Pakistani national. I got people, I had a woman, Rosa, call in yesterday who said he wasn't really born in Hawaii. He wasn't. He was born in Kenya. I mean, we got his birth certificate. What are people talking about?
These are the rumors that someone puts on the internet and they spread and they just keep popping up again and again because people believe what they want to believe. This is why I think Barack Obama is really a transformational candidate. He is getting people to think beyond their normal box, so to speak. I think that that's, you know, what they're most afraid of, really, more than anything else.
I think so, too. And I think that's what Colin Powell, I mean, he said he was a transformational candidate. That's what exactly meant. I think that, honestly, there are a lot of people, and I'm just going to say it, and folks, call in the lines if you disagree, but there are a lot of people that don't want to vote for a black man. There are people who are closet racists.
And they don't want to say that.
So instead they say, well, he's foreign, and he's Muslim, and he's a terrorist, and he visited Pakistan, and look, if you disagree with Obama's tax plan, by all means, call in, or his health care plan, or if you think that, you know, we shouldn't be bombing Pakistan if bin Laden's there, if you have disagreements on the issues, those are fair. If you vote for John McCain because, let's face it, you believe we need more money to oil companies and less money to wind and solar because you love oil companies, if you want to privatize Social Security, there are reasons to vote for John McCain. But please don't give me this, Obama, he's a closet Muslim terrorist socialist.
Don't you just think a lot of this goes to what's called conventional thinking. But it's a shortcut for really not thinking at all. You know, Barack Obama is a Democrat, therefore he is XXXX. And John McCain is a Republican, therefore he is XXXX. And no one actually takes the time to use their own brains and do the research and see what it is. You know, there are probably a lot of Republicans who are supporting John McCain, as there are probably Democrats supporting Barack Obama, that disagree with a lot of issues and don't even know it at this point.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. A lot of people don't want to think it through. They just want to say things. And I got to say, I see much more of it in the Republican Party. There are intelligent conservatives that have broken away, people like Chris Buckley, people like George Will, and they get crucified by their own party for showing a little bit of independence. And I don't know when Republicans became so anti-intellectual, but we'll talk about that. We'll also talk about Sarah Palin's special clothing line. Thank you very much for calling in. I want to begin by reading a quote from John McCain. In 2001, he said, and I quote, "I cannot in good conscience support a tax cut in which so many of the benefits go to the most fortunate among us at the expense of middle-class Americans," unquote, he said, in voting against the 2001 Bush tax cut. Where's that John McCain? Hey, you, the guy, the clone, pretending to be John McCain, where did you put the original guy? What, you got his manhood locked up somewhere? What happened to that guy? The Maverick. Yeah, remember the Maverick? The guy that used to not always agree with the Republican Party? Whatever happened to him? I mean, maybe 7 years ago, some people could argue that we didn't know the results of the Bush tax cuts, but we do know them now. According to a report by the Congressional Budget Office, that's that nonpartisan thing that works for both parties, the top 1% in just from 2003 to 2005 in 2 years in America made $524.8 billion, more than they used to make. The poorest fifth, these are the good years. This is 03, 05. This is before the latest crisis. The poorest fifth made $383 billion. So the top 1% made more money in those 2 years, just the increase in their income, than all of the bottom one-fifth of Americans' total income combined. Got it? It's like 20% of people combine them all together, add up their total income, and it's less than just the increase in the income of the super rich. And now McCain supports continuing this and calls ending it socialism? Wow, I just sure hope the John McCain of today doesn't meet the John McCain of 7 years ago, because he's going to call him a communist. Who do we got on the line? Ray in Connecticut. Ray, welcome to the show.
Yes, Mark. Thanks for taking my call.
Certainly.
Hey, I support Barack Obama 100%, and I hope he landslides McCain.
He's got a decent shot of it, but, you know, the election isn't for another 13 days, so you shouldn't get complacent.
The reason I'm calling is because this bailout package was the biggest swindle that was pulled on the American people in decades.
Hallelujah.
And this Cox, and I hope these people get investigated.
What? Tell me specifically, because I got to say, while I share your support of Barack Obama, I've got mixed feelings about the bailout package. I certainly think that, well, I got lots of problems with it. I think that, for one thing, it didn't include middle-class people. We need to have a stimulus package for them. For another thing, I think there weren't enough restrictions on Paulson. But I got to tell you, I do think that Obama and Democrats improved what was there originally. And I also understand generally the need for having some, you know, some liquidity. Now, this isn't the way I would have done it. I would have done it not by buying up these these silly credit default swap instruments that brought us. I mean, I would have just put money in the banks differently. But tell me specifically what your problems are.
Well, my problem is, Mark, the way the thing was just rushed through, and everything had to be done within a couple weeks.
Right.
Now, if this was such a big crisis, you know, why couldn't they get together the best economic minds in the country, bring them to Washington, let's sit down, let's have a discussion and find out which is the best way to go. Maybe we could have piecemealed the money, you know, the money out.
Yeah, Ray, I'll tell you this. While I don't think it was done in the best way, I agree with you on that. The one consolation that I have is that this gang that's been running the country for the last 8 years is going to be gone. Hey, hallelujah music, going to be gone in 3 months. And so, because they're going to be gone in 3 months, just 3 months, finally, I have a lot more confidence in Barack Obama and putting the right kind of economic advisors in. You know, it gives the Treasury Secretary a lot of power, but I think that Obama's Treasury Secretary will be looking much more out for the middle class and for ordinary Americans. And plus, there is, because of the Democrats' insistence on congressional oversight, every single thing they buy has to be publicly disclosed. So while I'm still very concerned, as long as this gruesome gang is in power for the next 3 months, I do think with Obama in office, they'll be careful and spend it much more appropriately.
All right. Well, I hope so. And for, you know, these Republicans always want to talk about class warfare and about people. But a quote Warren Buffett made himself, and I'm quoting him, "This is class warfare, and my class is winning."
Ain't it the truth? Ain't it the truth? Exactly. Yeah. And all Obama's doing, he's not trying to make us France. He's not trying to make us the Soviet Union. He's trying to make us back in the Bill Clinton years. And I don't remember too many people complaining about the economy in Bill Clinton years. In fact, as I recall, we had such peace and such prosperity that the worst thing they could think to complain about was a certain blue dress. That's how good. Well, imagine, our times were so good that that was the worst thing they could complain about.
Right, but people have to remember, when Bill Clinton left, we actually had a surplus.
We did. We did. More than $264 billion surplus. Again, can you imagine times being so good that the only thing you can think to complain about is the president's sex life?
I got to get in on this. It brings to mind the quote, "You don't know what you have till it's gone."
Ain't that the truth? It's just like a big yellow taxi. Came and took Bill Clinton away. Hey, thanks for your call, Ray. I really appreciate it.